Well, as we've already referenced many times, today is our kickoff Sunday, where we begin a new season of ministry and also begin a new sermon series. I'm sure as you walked into the church this morning, you probably saw these books out in the foyer. Does everybody have a copy? No. Okay, I've asked my two assistants, my wonderful daughter and her friend, to come around and pass these books out to everybody. You know, this is pretty serious when I actually went out there and got these things printed. So these are you know, supposed to last us about 8 weeks. And so we're going to be starting a new series here entitled One Anothering. And there's the teaching part of it, but then there's also a application part, which I will get to today as well, as we invite you to participate into this practice of one anothering. So does everybody have a copy? Okay, excellent. So if you turn with me to the very first page, which is numbered page 3. Somehow I didn't number these well. But if you turn to page 3, you'll actually see the title saying Introduction to One Anothering. And for those of us who are on Zoom, I can also provide a digital copy as well. So please send me an email or contact the church office and we can send that to you in a digital format. So let me just start by reading the introduction. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul encourages Jesus' disciples to be imitators of God as beloved children by walking in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. This sentiment is captured in two words, one another. However, in Greek, it's actually only one word. And I'm very terrible at Greek, so it's alleloan. And it's used 100 times in 94 New Testament verses. I encourage you to try and find all 100 one another words in the scriptures. One third of these one another verses address unity within the church. Another one third instructs Christians to love one another with an attitude of humility. Paul stressed unity and love as the hallmark of the church because these characteristics convey a sense of connectedness within the body of Christ more deeply than being individuals who share space. As Jesus' disciples, we belong to one another as one body, though we are many members with unique gifts, talents, and interests. And I refer that to Romans 12, chapter 4, verse 5, but also, as you can see, that it was repeated again in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. Our goal as we embark on learning from the one another verses is developing our belongingness. Being welcoming through acts of hospitality is commendable and necessary. But we desire to be transformed from creating welcoming spaces to belonging spaces in our increasingly multicultural world. This idea of belonging that we will be covering through this fall stems from the discipleship plan that was shared at the annual general meeting in May, where I introduced three words that summarized our mission statement. And if you see on the screen there, that is our mission statement. And I would ask, how many of us can actually, if someone came up to you today and say, what is the mission statement of Killarney Park? Would you be able to cite that off? It's quite a long sentence, right? God is calling Killarney Park MB Church to be a Christ-centered, spirit-filled people who embrace the city's multicultural identity by welcoming and caring for all people. Through biblical teaching, service, and worship, we celebrate our gifts and talents in our desire to impact the city with righteous living and God's message of hope. As I looked at that mission statement and prayed about it, I was like, how do we condense that down in a way that is easily communicated to others that we come in contact with as they ask us about who we are as the church, What is our purpose? And it came down to three words for me, which are belonging and believing and becoming. I think that's a lot easier to remember, that we will be able to say to others, and even for ourselves, to remind us of our mission statement, that we as a church, we desire to be a place of belonging for all. We want to grow in our belief, as well as encourage others to in believing in our in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then lastly, we seek to be a people who are becoming like Christ together. That is our purpose. That is our goal, to become more like Christ. And we don't do that alone. In fact, none of these, you can do that alone. The belonging and the believing and the becoming. And so for this season, we're going to be focusing on our belonging. You know, in previous generations, this whole idea of belonging, and particularly belonging to a church, meant having a shared doctrinal belief. Basically, it was about ensuring that we all believed the same thing. And if we didn't, then you went to another church that had the same kind of shared doctrinal belief that you had. And then once you were able to, you know, find such a community that shared a shared doctrinal belief, then it was about behaving. It was about behaving according to the Christian cultural expectations of that congregation. And we talk about that, and you know about that, this whole idea of the Christian culture and how each denomination, how each church has its own expectations of what it is to behave like a Christian. And then once you believed, once you behaved, then you only then experience true belonging. Well, what does this do then if we have this approach to this idea of belonging? Well, it contributes to an insider-outsider mentality. And that if you don't have the shared belief, you don't behave the right way, then you're either in or you're out, and then you're viewed as the other. Historically, this division was based on theological differences, but since 2022, what we're really seeing now is even within our churches, and especially in our society, that we're seeing that the division or the insider or outsider mentality has now also overlapped with our political differences as well. In Paul's epistles to the churches in Asia Minor, he addresses this issue of polarization and fragmentation within the body of Christ in his letters to the Galatians, the Colossians, the Church of Rome, and the Church of Ephesus. And he asks them, and he appeals to them, that even though there are so much diversity in terms of ethnicity, in terms of their theology, he appeals to them to come together and be unified as a one body through humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and a love. In our multicultural society, in our multicultural reality of Canada, we promote accommodation, tolerance, and coexistence. And while these values are a good starting point to hospitality, they fall short of the intercultural ethic that Paul promotes in his letters, which encourage empathy, involvement, and commonness. KPMB has a strong expression of welcome and hospitality. And our goal is to continue developing and articulating this ethic in our teaching and learning, as well as practice, as a way to be an alternative to what the world is experiencing in terms of this polarization and fragmentation and even segregation that we see today. today. Let me ask this question. Did anybody ever own, or even maybe your parents, own a members-only jacket? Do people even remember what these are? Some of us maybe? No? I'm getting a lot of chance. Okay. Well, it was a trendy outerwear in the 1980s, but has recently come to a resurgence. It used to be defined as dorky, but is now new and fresh due to the popularity of retro clothing brands among our young shoppers. It was actually associated with those with wealth and up-and-coming young urban professionals, which is where we get yuppie from. The tagline for its commercials was, "When you put it on, something happens." Similarly, there was another phrase that leaned further into this idea of members only or membership. And perhaps some of us would know this one. Membership has its... Oh, wow, you guys actually know that one. Okay, cool. Yes, membership has its privileges. And so now you know that marketing actually works, because it was exclusively used by American Express to promote their credit card. Membership then became associated with exclusivity and being part of an inner circle. In our context of our passage today, this idea of a select group of members who possess the spiritual gifts of wisdom, knowledge, healing, performing miracles, and speaking in tongues were elevated and given prominence because they had special spiritual gifts. And so that's the context of what we have in the verses prior to verse 12. And yet, what we have in verse 12 is that Paul recognizes this, again, inner circle, members-only idea that was happening within the Church of Corinth. And he addresses that, he challenges the idea by saying, actually, what we have in our church community is that members are of all of one body, rather than having these different prominence that we give to one another because of the unique special gifts that we've been given. To this mindset, it says, Paul writes in verse 4, "There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. In short, it is the Spirit who blesses God's disciples with unique gifts for the work of ministry as He wills. He empowers these gifts, and furthermore, in verse 7, to be used for the common good of the body." Rather, instead of using these gifts in order to bring attention to oneself, or to feel that just because I have these gifts of performing miracles or knowledge, which is akin to having the spiritual gift of foresight, or even the gift of healing, that somehow they make us better than one another. So then in verse 12 and on, Paul uses the illustration of the human body to represent how each member of the church relates to one another. And so we had read that this morning in verses 15 to 17, and then of course in verse 21. And so just to quickly go through them, it says, "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make any sense, make any less a part of the body. Or if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? And in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And essentially, the point that Paul is trying to make is that basically, you need all these different parts if our body is to exist. And so in the same way, no Christian believer should think of himself or herself as independent, but rather to be interdependent, and also that their gift is not inferior or superior, or to desire another member's gift. A commentator states it this way, in the diversity of the bodily parts, there was a corresponding mutual dependence. A person with a seemingly greater gift should not imagine that he or she could function alone, since a bodily member cut off from the natural body would cease to exist. And more importantly, one thought to possess a lesser gift should in fact be accorded greater attention by the other members of the body. In short, members of the body, whether their limbs, feet, hands, arms, legs, eyes, and ears, belong together as each has its own function, but needs to work together with the other parts of the body to move, to avoid danger, to serve, to love, and to teach. And I think this is a wonderful illustration that Paul has used in order to teach the Church of Corinth about the importance of what it means to be the member of one body, and yet individuals of it as well. And we recognize that today in our community here, that it takes all of our body parts, all the different roles that we have, that essentially together we serve in order to be able to encourage, to be able to support, to love one another, to avoid danger. This is why we have it takes all of us to make this happen. Can you imagine if I came up here on a Sunday and basically coordinated, led worship, and preached? That'd be too much for one person. Trust me, I couldn't do it. So verse 24 goes on to say, God has so composed the body, giving great honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The privileges of membership have not always been extended to all. In our greater society, the phrase members only was used to create separation and segregation in our society. A quick search online will reveal that racism and segregation did not only exist in the United States, it happened in Canada too, and that these segregation policies only ended as late as 1983. So that's only 50 years ago. The idea of membership as well among associations is also waning. They're finding that membership rates are declining. Event participation is also declining. And recruiting new members is getting harder and harder. And what I'm just referring to here sounds like the Church of Christ, the body of Christ here in Vancouver. But in reality, these observations were made and reported by the Canadian Society of Association Executives. These are men and women who lead different societies and associations that are dependent on having members in order to exist. And often these are paying members in order to maintain the benefits and the privileges of being a member of their, well, shall I say it, the club. They have concluded that this is due to a generational divide. That those of us who come from the boomer generation will join associations. And we can understand that, is that in that time, at that time frame, it was indeed a way for one to elevate one's status, to be identified with a particular class, that one would join these associations and clubs. However, our young generation today, our professionals, our young professionals today, don't join associations, they join communities. And that these communities are a natural extension of their digital world. Social media provides a vehicle to connect and to participate and learn. And the best part about all this, you can do this all for free. No, seriously, that's what it is. See, Michael is agreeing with me. Yeah, that's how it is. Right? No one needs to go to a networking event to meet their peers. You can do that every single day on Facebook, Instagram, and what was formerly Twitter. This is the new reality of member-based organizations. People don't pay to join a group. They participate in a group of their peers. I always love it when some of these biblical truth and ethics and principles make it into secular society, because secular associations are just now catching on to the reality that the body of Christ has always known. It is true that the church is an organization, and some would even say an institution. And we did use the language of membership, and in fact, I know that we still use that language because we're going to be having a baptism and membership Sunday on October 8th. This is a shameless plug for the fact that we are having baptism and membership Sunday on Thanksgiving Day, and that there are two classes before that. So we still use this language of membership. But where once upon a time it meant identity with a specific religious and ethnic denomination, really it was always meant to be the idea of a community of saints. Through the sacrament of baptism, individual believers are incorporated, brought into. They belong into that body of the local church. But not only do they belong in the local church, they're also part of the larger body that's in Vancouver, in our province, our national Canadian church, and a global church. That is how far our membership goes. Our incorporation into the body of Christ by becoming a member is also not transactional. There's nothing to pay. Our offering is not your dues, okay? We're not asking for dues when we take our offering. That's really meant, as Karen said, to support the work of the ministry of this church into that neighborhood as well. But being a part of a body of Christ like we have here at Killarney Park, It demands accountability, submission, service, stewardship to and of one another. And so this brings us back to our theme of one another, a one another-ing. As you know, this is really bad grammar, but please forgive me. The whole idea of one another, when we read it through the scriptures, can almost sound passive, like this is just, you know, pray for one another, love one another, right? And it's not a passive statement, it's not a passive word, it's an active word, it's an action-oriented word. And so that's where I went and it added the ing to make it a verb, because we're going to be one anothering with one another. See, our call is to create communities of faith where each member is held in esteem, where members find an affirmation of giftedness, where as Christians, as brothers and sisters, we are built up and encouraged and one in love, and where service to Christ and each other is championed. And so that's what we're going to be doing. As you look in the handbook, you're going to see for the next 8 weeks or so, there are going to be 8 different sermons. And they sound really basic, but yet at the same time, they're also very countercultural ideas. What it means to be in the body of Christ and how we can present an alternative to what the world thinks or what the world considers to be how you get along with one another. So we will talk about confess to and pray for one another, do not lie to one another, submit to one another, be at peace with one another, instruct one another, stir up one another. But that's only a handful of the verses that we actually have in the book itself. On pages 6 to 10, there are 60 verses that have been selected for you to read through. And this is where the application part is. The handbook is designed for your own personal growth and enrichment, but also for you to gather together with others. Hence, we can't really just be talking about being one another without actually being with one another. Do you get it? And there's even in the picture itself, there's a subliminal message there too. What is the point of the people? Can you guess? Can anybody guess? The reason why there's 3 people on the cover image here is to remind us to basically find 2 others, and that we will be able to then form a one another group. And so that's what we're encouraging, that as we go through the sermon series, as you have the handbook, which has places for each sermon to write your notes, and again, for your own personal growth, we also want you to be able to get together with others. So find 2 others and basically form a one another group. And so what we have, if you look on page 4, is the guidelines to how you form one another groups. And so I'll just go through that with you. This resource is provided to assist you with forming one another groups to allow for interaction with the one another verses and develop belonging and connectedness with one another. One another groups are micro small groups which are limited to 3 or 5 people. That's it. You can't go more than that. We invite you, your instructor, to invite 2 others to join you in forming a group with the potential to add others over time. It is ideal to ensure that the group is single-gendered, so we try to get all the guys together in one group and then all the ladies together as well. Or, if you want, you can have 2 couples join together, and you can do that too. And the idea also is to invite not just only people of a similar age, but also to be intergenerational and also to be multi-ethnic as well. We recommend meeting for an hour, so we're just saying an hour to allow time to check in, discuss the one another verse, and pray. And you can do this in person or online. Other one another groups may want to meet weekly for 6 to 8 weeks. The whole sermon series will go from September to November, so really it's about a 3-month commitment, but really we're only asking for 6 to 8 weeks before you close off that group and disband and form another one, another group. So it's quite possible within the next 3 months, you could actually be in two different one another groups. And then we have provided for you on page 10 to 11 and on a whole bunch of questions that will help you to be able to direct your conversations. And again, these are just ideas. You do not have to use every single question, and you're not required to answer every single question when you get together in your groups. So hopefully this makes sense. If you're not able to find somebody to be a part of a one another group, or what you would like to be, there's a sign-up sheet at the back as well, and you can write down that you want to be a part of a one another group, and we'll see what we can do in trying to help match you up. But the idea, though, is that we would like, or I would like us to form these one another groups organically. We didn't want to be too prescriptive and start putting people together. Rather, we invite you to do that on your own. Pray about it this week. Ask God, who would you like me to be part of a one another group with? And approach that person, and hopefully you'll be able to start going pretty soon. So I hope this is something that inspires you, interests you, and hopefully excites you as we move into this new season of learning how to love one another and be one another as the members of one body. So let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for just how you have called us together. You've called your people to yourself, that you have also formed and instructed us to be in community with one another as we seek to grow in our belief, that we want to be able to become more like your Son Jesus in all that we say and do, that you've created this thing called the church in order that we can find belonging and welcome and identity, and that we do all of these things and be all of these things, again, as members of one body, though we are still individual ourselves. Father God, may you guide us this week as we lean into this series, as we lean into this book, this handbook. Guide us, Lord, to those around us, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow brothers and sisters, as we seek to form these one another groups. May you guide us, Lord, we pray, and teach us again how we continue to live out this ethic of being one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.